Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
They're one of the top sources for information about your medication, drug interactions, side effects, and everything else you can think of about your health and your medicine. I'm talking about pharmacists, and our guest today is Jason McCarthy. He's a CVS pharmacy supervisor. He oversees 17 pharmacies in the area. So we're going to talk about drugs, medication, interactions, all of that sort of stuff. Jason, this is to me, it's really important because I think one of the big things is that consumers need to understand that they can talk to their pharmacist. And you encourage that, do you not?
Yes, we most definitely do. Pharmacists and pharmacies, local pharmacies, are the number one outlet or avenue for consumers to get information about medications. And pharmacists prove to be one of the most influential healthcare practitioners when discussing medications with patients and helping patients stay compliant and stay adherent to their new therapies.
You know, one of the statistics that was startling to me is that about 50% of patients don't really follow through on taking their medication. I mean, the compliance is astonishing and a little bit scary, isn't it? Because I assume those medicines were given for a reason.
Oh, most definitely. Usually what we see happen is that after the first month or two, when patients start taking their medication, they usually run into two issues. Either there are side effect issues that they're not talking to the pharmacist or talking to the doctor about, and they've decided just to stop taking it. Or a lot of times we see cost issues. Consumers start on new medications. The copay is okay the first month, and then after 2 or 3 months, and especially the way things are today, that can become a burden to some families. And the option sometimes is bills or medications, and a lot of patients choose not to continue taking
now,
them.
Now, talking about the cost, and it can be just really scary what medicines cost, particularly those that have not gone into generic form. There are companies that advertise that they will help people if you can't buy your meds, that they will, these are the pharmacies. How do you relate to them in some way? Let's suppose someone's taking a drug from a pharmacy that says, if you can't afford our medication, we may be able to help you. Do you all relate to those companies? Do you send the consumer to those companies? How do you do that?
Usually if a customer comes to us and says they're having trouble paying for the medications, first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at what alternatives are available for that patient based on what the doctor has prescribed. And then we'll come up with, you know, a regimen or a course of action that might be more cost effective for the customer. We'll contact the doctor and explain the situation to the doctor and let the doctor be the ultimate decision maker in terms of switching to a cheaper generic or continuing on with the current therapy. If we decide that the current therapy the customer is on is the most appropriate and beneficial, but there is a cost factor, then we would put them in contact with that drug manufacturer to seek assistance through one of the programs that they offer.
I think that's wonderful because it is scary to people knowing that they have an illness they need to take medicine for, but then choosing between medicine and eating sometimes. You know, I mean, that's a terrible choice to have to make. So what they should do is when they first run into trouble is to approach their pharmacist and state this fact and then let you all take it from there.
Definitely. And the pharmacist, any CVS pharmacy, walk right in, talk to the pharmacist. And we can do a quick medication review, review the options with you, what's available in the marketplace, and then we will get the doctor in the loop, talk to the doctor about, is this the right course from here? And we will provide any and every assistance that we can.
Do you have any idea how many of the people that buy medicines through CVS talk to the pharmacist? I know you encourage it, but do a lot of people utilize that service? Or do you know?
I don't have an exact figure of how many people utilize the service. We do offer the service to every single customer that comes to our pharmacy, an opportunity to talk to the pharmacist and ask any questions they might have. I think a lot of times customers really utilize it when they do run into trouble, versus being proactive and actually talking to the customer when they first get their prescriptions.
When they run into trouble, you're saying if they're
a cost issue or a side effect issue.
Side effects,
They'll come back and ask those questions, whereas an initial conversation when we start a new therapy, could probably help to answer some of those questions so the consumer is aware when they first start taking it.
Sure. I would think so. Now, are you actually, you're a supervisor, I know, of 17 pharmacists. Do you actually do hands-on dispensing of meds at this point? Because I know you're a trained pharmacist.
Sure. From time to time, I like to stay active and do work the bench and get in the pharmacy.
Is that what you call it,
bench? Yeah, we call it working the bench. So I definitely like to get there and work in the pharmacy, be hands-on, interact with the customers and, you know, and do the day-to-day job that my pharmacists perform and really keep myself relevant and active of what's going on.
Now, do you ever have a problem with anybody trying to dominate the pharmacist? For example, like a consumer who comes in all the time, or I suppose that's not a very common occurrence.
You have that from time to time. You'll have a consumer who has a lot of questions, who has a lot of medications and really needs some time to go through everything. And, you know, you walk in the door and we're here to help and we'll be happy to answer any and every question. And if it's an in-depth discussion and we need some more time, maybe some one-on-one time, we can always schedule that and find the best time to come to the pharmacy to sit down and talk. And, you know, a lot of our local pharmacies throughout the year, they do offer, you know, we'll have brown bag events and different community events where we'll
tell me about the brown bags. What is this?
Well, usually
bring your lunch.
Usually a brown bag or it's where you would we would set up at maybe a nursing home or a local facility and we would have two or three pharmacists there and we would just offer anybody in that area to come in with their medications and have a discussion with the pharmacist and talk about what questions they might have. And you know, if we did that, let's say at a local nursing home or facility, obviously those the residents there would be the majority of we would answer a lot of their questions, but it would be open to anybody who would come by. So we have different vehicles where we could answer some more in-depth questions.
So your brown bag is bringing your meds in your brown bag,
correct.
Not your lunch.
Not lunch.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point because my mother-in-law, when she was living, she had an awful lot of meds. And we were getting very concerned because it almost appeared as though she were becoming senile. And we were so concerned about her because she wanted to live in her apartment and we wanted her to live in her apartment. Well, I collected all of her meds and went to her doctor and said, my God, this woman is taking all this medicine. Well, it turned out that what she was doing was taking some of the medicines that the doctor had replaced with another medicine that somehow had gotten a disconnect that in fact she was supposed to stop the one and take the other. When she went on a proper regimen of medicine, she was like a different person. It was amazing, and yet it was something that, you know, you could easily have attributed to age, but it wasn't, had nothing to do with age.
Right, and that's, you know, one of the key services from a care one-on-one offering that CVS would have, where you would get that one-on-one time with your pharmacist to talk about safety, talk about cost, and really look at your entire regimen of medication and look at things that are relevant that you still should be taking and things that you should not be taking. And another key factor that is really having a pharmacy home, one central location, one pharmacy where you get all your prescriptions filled. So your pharmacist has a view of all your records. They can do a proper consultation on interactions and really look at what you should be taking today versus what should have been stopped or fill in some of those disconnects you talked about with your mother-in-law.
Let's just talk about, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jason McCarthy. He's a CVS pharmacy supervisor, and he oversees 17 pharmacies in the region and also is a hands-on pharmacist as well. And we're talking about some of the things that can go wrong or go right with your medicines. And it's really a very important thing. Now, you mentioned Care One-on-One. Mm-hmm. That's the name you've given to the program where you relate to your customers and help them with medicine interactions and so on, right? Now, do you put up, let's suppose that a person is taking a med and you know that it's something that, well, let's say like taking Coumadin, a blood thinner. Very sensitive to interaction with other drugs, medicine, and even over-the-counter products. Do you want people to tell you, and I'm not just people on Coumadin, but on anything else, do you want them to tell you about all the over-the-counter products that they take as well, even vitamins, supplements, that sort of thing? I mean, isn't that important as well?
Any over-the-counter medication is very important. Vitamins, things that are regulated by the FDA, while they will have some interactions depending on the medications you're taking, I think those are usually safer bets versus some of the more homeopathic medications that a lot of consumers have started utilizing in the recent years. And I think that's where consumers can really benefit from that that personalized review with the pharmacist and talk to them about, like, a medication like Coumadin. You know, I'm taking Coumadin. What things should I be looking out for? I'm also taking X, Y, and Z over the counter. And I don't think maybe your one-a-day Centrum would be of concern, but like some of maybe the homeopathic ones that are not regulated as strictly as other drugs.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a valid, very valid point, because you need to understand what you're taking. And people think because it's called a supplement or homeopathic medication that it's not harmful, but that's not necessarily true. There are some things that are sold that can be very detrimental to your health if you're not careful, because those supplements are not regulated by the FDA.
Correct. So if the personalized review, definitely talking to a healthcare professional like your pharmacist, that's always accessible, and also your doctor, making sure that you have a partner when managing your medications is the key when looking at over-the-counter versus prescribed medication.
Are there some medicines particularly that are commonly taken, prescribed medications, that consumers should particularly look out for interactions? I know that some of them can nullify the other. I mean, I guess that's where it's really important that you have somebody who's overseeing this, because if you're going to multiple doctors, you're going to have multiple suppliers of your medication.
Well, when you have interactions, the pharmacist can really look at your interactions, look at the different medications you're taking, and let you know before you start taking it if something is going to adversely affect the other. Having a pharmacy home, one central location where you get all your prescriptions filled, really helps to reduce the risk of having severe drug interactions, because if your prescriptions are all in the same place, then all that information is available to the pharmacist, and those things can be identified very quickly versus different pharmacies where they don't talk to each other and you can't see what medications are going on.
Well, of course, a lot of people, too, are getting their medication through online services. Well, let's put it mail order, because there are a lot of insurance programs that require you to go to a certain provider and for most of your meds and things that are taken consistently. So those people need to be especially alert. Now, I know that all medicines come out with warnings, but those things are so long, Jason. Is anybody going to actually read all of that?
Well,
I go read the side effects and interactions.
And then the side effects, too, it are printed with all the side effects that could possibly happen. And
possibly. That's the key, isn't it?
Right. Possibly happen. And that sometimes will deter consumers from taking medications, because you have a long list of side effects that could possibly happen. And the mail order pharmacy, they would have the same checks and balances that we would have in a retail pharmacy. They would be screening all the medications based on what you're taking, assuming that all your medications are with that one provider, that they would have access to a view to all those medications, and they would screen for safety. And if there was something of danger or of note to discuss, you would be contacted directly. But I think the key where you would be missing a mail order versus a retail pharmacy is that one-on-one interaction with the pharmacist to have a discussion.
Sure. So that you can go ask questions, and if something's happening or you don't think the medication is working. But it is disturbing that people will purchase some medicine and not finish the regimen. I think that's particularly true of people with antibiotics. They start to feel better and they stop taking them.
Correct.
Not smart.
No, you definitely want to finish your entire course of antibiotics, because usually, typically, maybe let's say you have a 7-day course of medication, you probably start feeling better by the third or fourth day, and then we typically stop taking it, but we really have not addressed all the bacteria or the root cause of the illness.
And got rid of the bad thing.
We have not got rid of all it by finishing the 7-day course of medication. And sometimes our regular maintenance medications that we use for chronic diseases and illnesses, you might see certain things the first couple of days when you take it, and that also might deter consumers from continuing it, or we don't actually maximize the medication because we're not taking it at the appropriate times. And I'll use cholesterol medication, for example. The best time to take cholesterol medications at night. That's when your body makes the most cholesterol.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. So not from a side effect perspective, but from an efficacy and actually the medication working, you get your best bang for your buck with certain lipid-lowering agents by taking it at night versus taking it in the morning or afternoon. And you can really see the results of that a lot sooner just by adjusting when you're taking the medication.
That's amazing. I know doctors will tell you to take this in the evening or take it once a day or take it three times a day. And and so specifically that kind of medication, cholesterol lowering medications, take them in the evening.
Yep. There are specific ones that you would take that work best at nighttime because that's when your body makes the most cholesterol.
I did not know that, Jason. Mm-hmm. Thank you for contributing to my education. You only contribute a lot to my education. Okay. So the importance of the interactions, but also knowing how to take them and whether or not you should take the medicine with food. That is another critical question, isn't it?
Yes, most definitely. You have diabetes medications, for example.
Before you finish answering that, let me just take a pause here to let everyone know they're listening to Of Consuming Interest. And I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jason McCarthy. He's a CVS pharmacy supervisor. He oversees 17 pharmacies in our area. He's a busy man. All right. You were talking about whether or not you take your meds with food.
So for certain medications, I'll use diabetes, for example. You would take some you take with food or you need to take after food because they might lower your blood sugar too low if you haven't eaten yet, which can cause fainting or dizziness. And that sometimes will obviously that happens to a consumer. They don't want to continue taking it because, you know, that's, you know, nobody wants to be dizzy all the time or faint. And then you have other diabetes medications that actually work with the amount of glucose that's in your body. So you have to eat for the medication to actually work properly and effectively. So and then you have other medications that you would eat just because of the, you know, the difficulty or might be rougher on the stomach and digestive system. Mm-hmm. So you want some food in your system before you take the medication. So just those little things of when you eat and taking medications before or after are just a small portion of the information that you would get from having a one-on-one discussion with your pharmacist.
Now, one of the other things, too, is that seems like I vaguely remember that you shouldn't drink milk with some antibiotics. Is that true? Maybe that was something that we used to take. Penicillin, maybe? I don't know.
Probably some of the older medications that, you know, you certain
before your time, Jason.
Some medications you won't take with certain foods because, you know, they would nullify the effect or they would not allow it to be digested properly.
You do not drink grapefruit juice within an hour or something of taking some of your meds because it nullifies the medicine.
Yes, I have read that study. The name of the drug escapes me right now, but funny enough, everybody or a lot of people know that's been mentioned of not drinking grapefruit juice with a certain medication.
But I think there's more than one.
Right, there are a few. But
so drink your grapefruit juice an hour before or hour
after? Yeah, just space
after.
It out and the pharmacist can probably give you a good time or a good regimen on to when is the best. If you have to have your grapefruit juice that particular day, then we can talk to you about when is the best time to do both.
Right. So you could do your grapefruit juice and take your pills too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anything else that we need to particularly, oh, by the way, people can go to your website and get lots of information to CVS.com.
Yes. www.cvs.com. You can find a local pharmacy closest to you. You can get drug information online. You can get more information on care one-on-one, a personalized review with your pharmacist. There is lots of information on Medicare Part D and plans on our website that talk about...
Do you do online chats with consumers?
We don't do online chats, but I think when you go and you have a store locator, especially here in the metropolitan area, you can probably find a CVS pharmacy within walking distance and talk to a pharmacist any question that you might have.
Okay. So your website is CVS, www.cvs.com.
Yes.
So you can find put in whatever you want to do. Do you see pharmacists, the role that they're playing in the community? Do you see your role lessening as drugs are being sold online? I mean, I know this. I go to a CVS pharmacy for some things, and where they're extremely busy. Have you seen a lessening of business because of online services for medicines? Are we just getting more and more sick people? I don't know.
No, the role of the pharmacist is definitely not diminishing. I think the role of the pharmacist is actually enhancing. The pharmacist is becoming more and more integral to the healthcare team and to being an advocate and an advisor for the patient. So we are a very knowledgeable consumer base. We have a wealth of information available to us online. And, you know, whether you buy your prescriptions online, mail order, or whatever means of acquiring medication, the pharmacist, I think, is still the best resource and the best person to discuss that medication with. And I see our role continuing to flourish and not diminish.
Well, I think it's particularly important because in today's environment, it's oftentimes difficult to get enough time with your doctor to even get answers to the questions that you have about your meds. So I think the role of the pharmacist is enhanced in this kind of an environment. And the importance of talking to your pharmacist is enhanced.
Yes, and with multiple locations, several stores open 24 hours, you definitely have a qualified, experienced healthcare provider, you know, basically available to you 24/7 to ask whatever questions you might have.
You all also have some mini clinics set up in some of your places. You give flu shots and they do other things. Is that a part of CVS or is that someone that comes in and partners with you all?
It's part of the entire organization. You know, the Minute Clinic itself, I guess you would consider a separate entity, but we all work together under the same umbrella. So the Minute Clinics are located, you know, in select stores throughout the marketplace, and they are nurse practitioners that are available during regular business hours that can treat and diagnose and write prescriptions for acute illnesses. They don't treat everything, but for the most part, your everyday aches and pains, coughs and colds, you can walk into a Minute Clinic and see a nurse practitioner and then walk straight back to the pharmacy and see the pharmacist. And
well, in many doctor's offices, the person you spend the most time with is the nurse practitioner. So, and they're very well trained and skillful. Now, would there be, there's charges, of course, for these services. Would they be covered by Medicare and insurance?
Yes, the Minute Clinics accept most major medical plans and Medicare and Medicaid, just like a doctor's office would.
So the final word here, we've just got a couple of minutes. The final word really for consumers is to develop a relationship with your pharmacist. Fill your prescriptions. I mean, I was astonished to find that something like 25% of people don't even have their prescriptions filled. I mean, why did they think the doctor gave it to them? Just to look at the paper? I don't think so. And then the number of people, about 50% of them, don't even follow through with a complete course of the meds. So those things are really significant. But more so than anything is to finding out drug interactions, foods that you, whether you take it with food or whatnot, and what other things?
Well, I think, you know, as you stated, with customers who do not take their prescriptions initially written by the doctor, and a lot of patients who, you know, fall off therapy after the first 3 months, the relationship with the pharmacist is key. I think going to your pharmacy, having one home pharmacy, talking to your pharmacist about your medications, finding out about side effects, safety, and any cost-saving alternatives that might be available if cost is an issue. Those are the cornerstones to really having a good maintenance and adherence to your medications long term.
And as you said earlier, I think the cost of medicine is one of the big issues for many consumers now as they're facing unemployment and all kinds of other things. And so it really is important to discuss that. If that is a problem, don't just give up on your meds. See if you can't find assistance in getting the proper meds through some other means. So.
And the pharmacist is on the front line every day and can definitely point you in the right direction for that.
Jason, thank you so much for joining us. My guest has been Jason McCarthy. He's a CVS pharmacy supervisor, and you've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker, and thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.